In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Gospel today talks about the person who was a ruler, who was pious, who nonetheless couldn't follow Christ, even though he followed the commandments. He cared about godly things, but he just couldn't do one thing. And I think this is preserved for us because it is a lesson that really Christianity is not a partial thing. Christianity is all of your life. It's a very difficult thing for us to do, to have God be all of our life. All of society likes God to be a part of our life, but that's not what God wants. The scripture has God calling himself a jealous God. He expects us to give our entire heart to him. Let's go through this dialogue of the ruler with Christ and see if we can learn anything about it for ourselves. The first thing that we see is that he calls Jesus good, and Jesus rebukes him for that. Now, that wasn't expected. I'm sure he didn't expect Jesus to do anything except just answer his question. Perhaps he was flattering him. Perhaps he was being really honest about his appraisal of Christ. But when he called him good master, the Lord says, "Why do you call me good?" A very odd answer to basically just sort of a little polite means of address. And it's there for a reason. If we call God good, Jesus good, then he's God. And he says, the Lord himself says, there is none good but God. So if we encounter Jesus, we're encountering God. There are implications to being in the presence of God. So we can't just give him a title, call him Lord, and not do the things that he says. We can't call him good and not try to become good ourselves. So there are moral implications to our acknowledging that God is good. This is what the Lord is trying to tell the man. This is very important. And I think that none of us fully understands this. I've spent my life trying to understand this, trying to understand how good God is, and I haven't figured it out yet because I'm not good enough to understand. God is way beyond me. We should study God, and I don't mean with your books on the table, but I mean in the way we live. We should make it our life's work to know the good God. Now, the only way to know the good God is to become good. So this is the implications of this man's appellation, good master. If God is good and God made us, then we are to become good. And that might seem obvious to you or even trite, but in my experience, it's not obvious at all. Most people's experience of religion is really sort of some rules that they follow, some customs that they know, things like that. Even very pious people. This is not what religion is. Religion is experiencing God. And God is wholly good. He's wholly light. There's no darkness in him at all. He's completely good. And so, we must become good to know God who is good. So that's the beginning. The man had the wrong idea about who Jesus was, and in general who God is, because we can see by his later answers, he didn't understand really what his purpose was. He thought his purpose was to fulfill some things and then to be given sort of a reward in return. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is God wants you to experience him. He is the only good thing, the only alive thing in the universe. All life comes from him. All goodness comes from him. You can find scriptures to say that, but you must feel it with every pore of your being. And when you feel it, then you will really truly make great progress in the spiritual life. Now, unfortunately, I'm speaking to you to some extent, to a great extent, about things that I know about. Because I'm a relatively smart fellow. I've read a lot of stuff. I've been in a lot of prayer services. I read the services. So I know a lot about it. But in terms of experiencing being good, I don't really understand that very well at all. So I'm not speaking to you as one with experience, as if one of the saints were speaking to you now. But nonetheless, even though you and I really haven't experienced being good too much, not as God is good, God has promised us that we will become good. In fact, we have the epistle that talks about where having therefore these promises. And the promises are that you'll be perfected. Now, I haven't figured out how we're going to do that yet. It doesn't look to me that I'm getting very much perfected at all. But I know God said it'll happen. So I believe it. And here and there I see some changes that make me really believe that indeed I will be perfected. So that's the first thing. God is good, and there are implications to God being good. So your whole life is not about learning religious stuff and following religious rules. It is to experience God, and you can't experience God until you are good. And the whole purpose of the incarnation is for you to become good. So, he answers the man's question. And he says, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, etc. He says them in a rather offhand way, and there's a reason for that. The fulfilling of the commandments is not the purpose of life. Did you know that? You can find catechisms that say that. That's not true. The fulfilling of the commandments is only experienced in the fulfillment of the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to be united with God and to know Him and to become good. So that's why the Lord sort of said, well, you know, the commandments, this, this, and this. Not really emphasizing them so much, but just saying, well, you know, these are obvious. It might be a paradigm shift for some of you. Christianity is not about making sure that you fast correctly and making sure that you say a canon every day or quitting smoking or whatever. Christianity is about experiencing God and loving your neighbor and loving God, because otherwise you can't know God. It's not about fulfilling commandments. It's about fulfilling the purpose that God has laid out for us, which is union with Him. So it's a whole different, more powerful way of looking at life than just following rules. I suppose I was set up for this because when I was in school, I didn't follow many rules. I was always in trouble. I didn't like stupid rules. So I knew the principal really well in grade school. And I still don't like stupid rules. But nothing stupid in Christianity. There's a purpose to everything. Union with God, not just the following of a rule. So remember that next time you want to come to confession and the first thing that comes in your mind is you broke the fast. I'm warning you, don't do that. Instead, think about what's wrong with me, huh? And then confess that. Because that God wants to fix. Now, mind you, I'm not telling you not to fast. I think you should fast. But not to fulfill a rule in order to, because your body and your soul needs fasting. That's really why we should fast. So, the young man says the truth to the Lord. He says, I've done all those things. That's kind of partially true, right? Because according to the Beatitudes, if you say to your brother, Raca, you're guilty of hellfire, that's just like murder. If you even look at a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery. So he fulfilled the letter of these commandments. He hadn't committed adultery in the physical sense. He hadn't killed anybody. And so he says he fulfills those commandments. But there's a depth behind those commandments that the Lord then brings this man to see. Well, he sees it, but he doesn't see it with eyes that see, unfortunately. But it's preserved so that we can see it. Hopefully our eyes can see. So after explaining the commandments, and the man says, I fulfilled those commandments, then the Lord says, you only lack one thing. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now you can go into the particulars of our Lord's command, but basically I want to go into, yet lackest thou one thing, and sell all. I felt all of my life that I lack things. And no, I don't need to go to a high psychologist and learn about self-esteem, as the world likes to talk about it. I just know the truth about myself. I'm not always good. I'm not always kind. I'm not always compassionate. I'm not always free from judgment. I'm not always in tune with the sufferings of others. I know that about myself. I can't pretend it's not true. So I lack a lot of things. And if you look into your life, you'll see that you lack things too. If you're honest with yourself. And by the way, the best way to be honest with yourself, or one of the ways, is when you read Scripture as a mirror, it shows a lot of imperfections. If you read the Gospels regularly, if you read the Psalms regularly, I tell you, it comes out what kind of man, what kind of woman you are. It can't be denied. There's nobody else in the room with you. You might as well admit it when you're reading your prayers, reading the Gospel. You lack things. We have to know this. As a pastor, the most frustrating thing that I encounter is when a person does not know that they lack something. They're not aware that there's something wrong in some area of their life. So how can I talk to them about addressing this area when they don't see a problem? I see that happen a lot. And I know that in my life it happens a lot. And I would say, by extrapolation, since we're all human beings here, it happens to you a lot too. That you're not aware of the things you lack. So you don't pursue getting better in things that you don't know you're bad at. So how do we get better at things we don't even know we're bad at? It sounds like an oxymoron. How can you struggle to get better at things you don't know you're bad at? Well, here's how. The Lord says, sell all. Now, you can take that literally if you wish. That's not really how the gospel intends it. This man had a problem with money. He was rich, and although he gave alms and he followed the commandments, at least the letter of the commandments, he was attached to his position in life, either his possessions or more likely the esteem that he had in society. And it was a stumbling block for him. So the Lord said to him, you got to sell everything, literally, your money. Give up your money. But in a spiritual sense, this means whatever it is that you need to give up, you got to give up. And you always got to be looking for what you need to give up. I've discovered things I need to give up. Some of them I've given up. Some of them, they're real hard to give up. And either I give them up for a while and they come back, or it's just, I don't even know how exactly sometimes. But to be aware of it is the first thing, is the beginning. So we have to know we lack in order to sell all. Now, I'll tell you one thing personal. I've talked with you about this before a little bit. The most revolutionary thing in my life that has ever occurred in the spiritual life. I'm not talking about being baptized and all those things. Of course, being baptized is the beginning. Without being baptized, nothing else would follow. But I'm talking about since that time and living with great zeal, great energy as a young man, but not understanding. And then becoming a deacon, later becoming a priest, and not understanding, and then coming to understand. And that is that, it might sound obvious to you, But it wasn't obvious to me. And although it sounds obvious to you, I guarantee you it isn't obvious to you. And that is that I needed to pray, to really pray. And I'm learning that as the biggest priority of my life. I can't say that it is every day. Sometimes I get distracted in the morning and don't pray until later, and then there's less power in it. Sometimes I have something to do very early in the morning, and I end up not doing my commemorations of people, and I feel like there's a hole in me. But I've learned that. So even though I've learned it, doesn't mean I've completely mastered it. But it took a long time to really understand that. I mean, I said morning prayers and evening prayers and the Psalter, and when we were first married, I made Marina listen and participate. We do matins in the morning. That was some. I'm glad there's no movies from back then. But I didn't understand. That's not really prayer. I mean, it's part of prayer. But the essence of prayer is your heart being with God. I haven't figured out how to do that yet, but I know the path. And it took me a long time to figure out that path. So the sell all that I have to do is prayer above everything. Prayer above when I'm really nervous about getting something done. Pray anyway. Don't do the thing that has to be done. Pray, because that's the most necessary thing. Now, obviously, it's not that I pray 16 hours a day and don't cut the grass. Obviously, there are things you need to do in life. You need to go to work, and you need to buy groceries, and all the other things that are part of life. We are not only spiritual beings. We're not just sitting around praying and doing nothing for the body. But the paradigm shift that I learned, and I'm not sure exactly when I learned it, was prayer first. And that transformed me. Unfortunately, I don't look much different, do I? It's transforming me. It's making a big change. And that is the kind of thing I'm talking about. That the Lord will tell you, there's something you need to change. There's something you need to go all out on. Not 90%, but 100%. Or as sometimes, you know, some sports person will say, he gave 110% out there. Not very good math, but spiritually that's correct. You give everything you have and more than you have, because God will always give you enough to give more. So you can give more than you're capable of giving. And I'm trying to learn that with prayer. There might be something with you that you need to realize that you're lacking in your relationship with God, in your experience of God, because you're just not selling all. There's something you're not giving up. What is it? Pride? Uncleanness? Judging others? Laziness? Perhaps it's prayer. All of us could improve in prayer, of course. So that's kind of a given that we have to give more prayer. But it has to be prayer with power. Why is your prayer not powerful sometimes? I've wondered about that. Why is it oftentimes that my prayer doesn't feel very powerful? There's something wrong inside me. I don't know how to fix it. But God knows how to fix it. So I have to understand that I lack something. I don't even know what I lack. I'm really a mess. Because I don't even know what it is that I need to fix, but God knows. And for me, that path is the fulfillment of my purpose. Should I say my sub-purpose? You know, B in the chart. A is to have union with God. But in part of fulfilling that purpose, God has made me a priest. So fulfilling my priestly purpose is to learn to pray. That's the thing that I have to do. You have to figure out what you need to do. Now, when the man heard these things, he was really sorry. And I'll tell you, that happens to a lot of folk. They're sorry that they hear the Christian life demands everything, because they perceive the Christian life as sort of an impediment to having fun, to live in regular life. Well, when you start to think that regular life is death, then I guess you don't mind Christianity being an impediment to that. And I've started to learn regular life is death. The regular way of thinking when somebody wrongs you, that's death. That laziness that happens sometimes in the day, that's death. Those bad thoughts in your head, they're death. Ego and pride, it's all death. The only thing that's alive is God. But people are sorry when they begin to understand in a small way what's expected of them. And then they consider it to be too hard. I can't tell you the number of people that have told me things like, the services are too long, or the fast is too hard, or other such things as that. Well, if the services are too long for you, come to as much of the service as you can. If the fast is too hard, fast as good as you can, as completely as you can. But don't just say, walk away because, well, you know, that's too hard. That's not the way to live life. The way to live life is to struggle to do what's right. Now, mate, you can't do everything that's right. You can't do things completely right. Like I just said to you, I've learned about prayer, but I really haven't figured out exactly how to apply completely the lesson that I've learned. But I am doing it more and more every day. And I know God is teaching me. Because I am many things, but one thing that I'm not is uncaring about union with God. I care about that a lot. So don't go away sorrowful because you think things are hard. Just do the best you can. If you're not a good faster, fast a little bit better. If you don't pray very much, pray a little bit more. If the services seem long to you, maybe come a little bit earlier or a little bit more often. And especially pray. Not just the morning and evening prayers. Not just the Our Father when you're in your car. But prayer where you're trying to have your blood mix with God. You know, He mixes His blood with us. It's about to happen. So we must mix our blood with His. We must give our blood to Him in our prayer. So let's understand something about each other. Just individually now. Just you understand about you. You don't have to understand about anybody else. Everybody else has to stand before God on their own. Just understand that you're missing stuff. And God will help you find what you're missing and fix it. And to the best of your abilities, try to give everything to Him. And if you do, indeed, you will find perfection. That's guaranteed. May God bless you and help you in all things.